Something is trying to get inside my body,
and you want to sleep with me.
We can't go to camp without our physicals now, can we?
La plume de ma tante.
I take great relish in savoring each separate horror. I roll them over on my tongue.
Don't, Lord Byron. Don't remind me of it tonight.
Sometimes I have wondered whether life wouldn't be much more amusing if we were all devils.
But you are, Blanche. You are in that chair.
Yes, I've always dreamed of a little girl just like you.
Welcome to Scream and Queens, the horror podcast with a queer eye view. My name is Jonathan Larkin.
I'm Stephen Mark.
I'm Jonathan Butler.
I'm Martin Fennessy.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. You bitch.
Can I just let it be known that Martin's wearing a tank top tonight with his guns on show and it's very distracting. Sun's out, guns out, Martin. Are you paying homage to Blake Lively by getting all your flesh on?
I am.
On
yeah.
Makes sense now. Is that why the surfboard's outside?
That's why the surfboard's outside. And there's a chunk out my leg.
Oh, I thought that was just a flesh-eating disease.
Yes.
So we had our first podcast night out the other night. It was crazy. We all got drunk and made out. But before that, we went to see The Shallows on the cinema because it's new. It's horror. So we thought we'd give it a look and then let you lot know what we thought of it. So the premise of The Shallows is a young woman whose name we can't remember, but call her Tallulah, played by Blake Lively, which made me laugh. But before we went in, my husband came to see the film with us, and before we went in, we were talking about Blake Lively, and didn't he say to you, what's a Blake Lively, or what is it?
Who's he?
We still don't know.
No.
Who is Blake Lively?
He remembers Blake Seven.
Blake Seven. I once
very
got
different.
I once got drunk at a BAFTA party with an actress from Blake Seven.
Wow.
Jacqueline someone. She was in Moondial as well.
Wow. That is Blake Seven.
It's part of the curriculum and you'll have to go away and look.
Okay. I feel ashamed for myself.
Lots of sci-fi gays who grew up in the 70s hope Blake Seven in great, great affection.
Okay.
Like Doctor Who.
Like Doctor Who. Yeah, like Doctor Who. Sort of between Doctor Who and Star Trek, really.
Okay.
I think that's what my shoot. Yeah.
But how do we get on to that?
Blake Lively.
Look Lively, Martin.
Blake Lively.
The film is about a young woman called Genevieve, played by Blake Lively, who goes to Mexico with a friend who gets drunk the night before and lets her down at the last minute. And they're meant to be going to find this beach, which is like a secret beach that hasn't got a name. And we find out throughout the film that it's got some emotional resonance with the character. She wants to go there because that's where her mum used to take her when she was a kid, and her mum's recently died.
Yeah.
Very sad. Squish, squish. She decides to go surfing alone. And then once she's out on the high seas in very, very tiny swimming costumes, she comes across the feeding ground of a killer, a great white shark. And from there on in, it gets a bit Jaws.
Hey! You should come over here.
I'm good here, thank you.
Hey, sis.
Hey.
I just want to let you know I made it here. Mom was right. It took forever to find, but it's perfect.
What did you say the name of this place was?
This is paradise.
It was a fun film, and there was lots of tension throughout, I think it's fair to say. Though the beginning, I would say, gives you a bit of signal about how the tone of the film will, what the tone of the film will progress to towards the end.
What do you mean, like, sort of a bit schmaltzy?
Yeah, and it's a bit clumsy in the old text and Instagram.
Instagram
portrayal on screen.
It's strange. Basically what they do is they show whenever she's on her phone, it flashes up on screen so you can see the screen. Can I just say we've been doing that on Hollyoaks for
He ripped her off.
8 years. And it works on a TV show that's aimed at teenagers. But for me, it didn't quite work in a film. Mm. It felt a bit jarring.
It was almost like they did it split screen, and it was just very odd, and it was like they were trying to teach you what social media is and how to use a phone, and assume that you never had a phone and a watch.
In case you forget how to use a watch.
That's very true.
You've never...
Casio might have sponsored this.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
So it was a bit patronising.
So we won't go down the spoiler route with it, because we don't want to give the ending away or anything. But needless to say, you know, she gets attacked by a shark. We all know that. And when she's trying to sort of look after her wounds and stuff, she basically gives the audience a run through of what she's doing. She like talks out loud saying, "And now I'm using my suit to make a tourniquet. And now I'm doing this." And it's all very, very strange.
There's only one character in the film, so she kind of has to do that, really.
She had to speak.
I thought it would have been braver if she didn't, though. Like a braver film, like choice.
Yeah.
For the filmmaker to do something totally different.
They gave a reason why she was speaking, which I didn't mind at first. Like, when she first starts doing it, I was like, okay, I'll let you off, because it's a little cute way of why she's speaking to herself, because why the hell would you be speaking to yourself? But then, like, towards the end, she's like, I've got, like, across my lateral fibre and the incisor wound, and I'm just like, that's far too much information. You would not be saying this.
Yeah.
It just didn't... It stopped making sense.
Yeah. I mean, there is context that she's a medical student, isn't there?
Yeah.
But that is all a bit clumsy. I think you're right. It could have been braver for them to have had less dialogue, because it didn't use up time in the film.
Mm.
The action used up time in the film.
Mm. Yeah.
So they could have been much more sparing with the dialogue.
It was very it's sort of shot like a music video about surfing, really.
Yeah, the first 20 minutes it could always be like a surfing a surfing video.
Yeah, there's lots of slow mo where she's riding high on the waves and stuff.
It did look a bit CGI,
a lot of it looked quite CGI. Yeah, yeah.
I think when there's some of the close ups when there was actually surfing, I think they CG'd her face onto it.
Yeah,
because I think she can do some of the basic stuff, but when she was actually doing the surfing on the big waves, I think they CG'd her face onto someone else.
I tried surfing once and it took me 2 days to stand up, so even if she got up, I'd still applaud her.
No, yeah. When did you try surfing?
Years ago, down in Cornwall, but there was no waves, that's why I couldn't stand
up. Oh, that's cool, though. That's cool.
I was obsessed. I used to buy all the... I went surfing twice, literally, in my life. And then for the next 2 years, wore only Billabong and the other surf mates. Like, I was an actual surf and had long, shaggy hair. I don't know what happened.
Did you have long, shaggy hair?
Like, not super long, but it was all wavy.
Oh.
It was not a good choice.
That's very funny.
We need to see a picture.
Yeah.
No.
And then we'll share it on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah.
On social media via Casio. So, Jonathan, as the heterosexual in the room, what did you make of Blake Lively basically being on display for the whole hour and a half?
Yeah, it was good.
Let it be known, he's blushing and nodding.
It probably added an extra point to the film, I'd say. For me, anyway, as a... heterosexual person.
She's not
unattractive, is she?
No, and I think she's quite good. Her acting was good.
Yeah,
her acting was fine.
Better than I thought it was going to be, to be honest.
It's
a good portrayal of her as well. I mean, it's not like some things where there's a woman and it's just like just a blonde doll to be tortured and killed. Yeah. And she's actually quite smart and quite strong. So,
and I think everyone who dies in the film is male.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Interesting. So she meets two surfer dudes who we don't really see enough of. well, one of them is quite fit, but the other one wasn't. But anyway, we think she's going to be saved. We think she's going to be rescued. So basically what happens is she ends up having to take refuge on a dead whale.
Yeah.
So she strays into she comes across this dead whale floating in the sea with bits of blubber everywhere, and it's really gross. And then she realizes it's the shark's feeding ground, so she's sort of encroached on his territory. So first of all, she has to cling to the dead whale, and then she has to find her way over to the shallows of the tidal, really. She sort of takes refuge on these rocks, And she makes a little friend, doesn't she?
Yeah, the best part of the film.
Yeah.
Steven Seagal.
Steven the Seagal. which is quite sweet, and I was surprised by that. By that as well. I was surprised that they took that route with it, giving her a cute little feathered friend.
Yeah, that was definitely the best bit of the film for me. Even though I spent the entire film waiting for it to feed the seagull to the shark.
Yeah.
And over the
flip. Well, we and Martin had a different thought what was going to happen, didn't we?
Yes, would you like to share with the group what your thought was?
Well, it could have been a logical route to have strangled Stephen the Seagull and to have drank its blood. Well, you know,
she's only been there.
There's other decisions you can make when you're stranded on a rock, I guess. And you've got no company.
There's a particularly great scene with a crab that was possibly the weirdest, pointless thing to add, but also genius.
Yeah, that was quite funny.
Do you really want to spoil it? I think that's something you need to see.
Yeah.
I think it's worth a watch. It's a good kind of horror film. It's not as trashy as like the Ghost Sharks and Sharknadoes and stuff, but I think if you're a fan of those, you'll probably appreciate
it as
well.
The last 20 minutes is probably as trashy as that. Well, 10 minutes.
If you like those films, you'll enjoy the you'll enjoy the ending.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
It says a lot about me. I mean, we've been doing a lot of research on Italian horror and giallo for the last couple of weeks, so I think that has some sort of influence on me, because when she is stranded and she has to find a way to make bandages for her leg, I thought she was just going to take her bikini top off and then have a tip top the rest of the film.
It would have got 2 extra points if that happened.
Yes. Yeah. It also would have gone straight to DVD.
Yeah.
It's one of those films, actually, and I don't mean this in a snooty way because I love B-movies, but it's a B-movie.
Yeah.
And it just happens to have, I don't know what the budget was, but it happens.
I don't imagine it was very, very big, because there's not many people in it. There's minimal CGI, really, isn't it? I mean, there's some, but it's not. If it was more than 80 million, I'd be surprised.
It's more the release was bigger than what you'd expect it to be.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Like, its advertising and everything must have been a lot higher than what the film can't, not deserves, because it is okay.
Yeah.
But it's just a lot more than what most films like that would get.
Yeah. Is she a big star?
She is big. She was in Gossip Girl.
She's like a star of the moment. She's just coming into her moment, I think, of major stardom. I think she's been rising for a while.
Yeah.
She really hit big with Gossip Girl.
Yeah, and then she's getting lots of
fit. Yeah, and she's getting lots of attention now. So I think this is probably her first major Hollywood film, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's more in the can.
Has she got famous boyfriends?
She did.
She went out
with DiCaprio, didn't she, for a bit, I thought?
She did.
She's dating a few people. She's a bit of a Taylor Swift.
Oh, God.
Not quite that bad.
Interestingly, that sort of reputation can actually be a signal that that's just part of the Hollywood PR.
That's what happens.
That's how you build your profile, isn't it? And so that they can invest the money in your releases.
She's more talented than Taylor Swift. I'll give her that.
I've never heard Billie Eilish sing.
I've never heard Taylor Swift sing. I'm about to see Taylor Swift get eaten by a shark.
I'd be okay with this.
Although he would take one bite out of him and be like, oh, nothing there.
I did think, actually, watching it, I was like, this shark is really committing to this meal. It's got a freaking giant ass whale over there with lots of big blubber that I could eat, and it's chasing this little twig girl for like 12 hours.
I think it's
12 hours for a little snack.
I think it's the thrill of the chase.
Yeah.
It would be an amuse bouche.
No, they do kind of make a reference to that, though, is why, don't they? That's when she's looking at a video. She's looking at a video of it, and then she sees something and goes, so I think that's what that scene was for.
So it's angry. So it's...
yeah, because someone's tried to kill it, and it's just angered.
That scene makes a little bit more sense when you say it like that.
So it's angry with the world.
Maybe. It's a misanthropic shark.
Shark with existential guilt.
I was just waiting for it to punch it in the nose.
Yeah, I know.
Because that's what
she didn't think about.
I did also. I was actually waiting at the beginning for Steven Seagal to take a bite out of her leg. Because seagulls are carnivores.
Scavengers, yeah.
It would be hungry. Yeah. But not to eat her. So that would have been an interesting turn as well, but I suppose it would have gone straight to DVD then, because it would have been Jaws meets Birds.
That's very true. Wow.
There's a film for the making.
Sci-fi channel and already working on that.
God. So yeah, I mean, we all enjoyed it. It did have its moments of head scratching where you're just like, what the hell? The ending, which obviously we're not going to give away, the ending is particularly vomit inducing, I thought.
Yeah. Really, especially the music shot at the end.
Can I just go back into my hatred of Marco Beltrami, who did the script, the music for Scream and Cursed and other things?
On this.
He did the music for this, and I didn't tell.
I actually really loved the song, it's here, Bird Separate. And I love that song, but it was just in that moment I was like, oh my god, that's so cheesy. It's like, it makes me want to die.
Yeah.
It kind of made me hate the song a bit.
If they would have done without that little ending, I think it would have been better.
Yeah, I actually thought, right, there's a spoiler, so if you don't want to hear this, it doesn't give any of the story away, but if you don't want to hear this, cover your ears for the next 10 seconds. I thought the bit where she hallucinated and saw her mum.
Yeah.
I was waiting for the mum to turn into a shark. So you would have laughed at that if you didn't want to be spoiler free and covered your ears, but there you go. But I wanted that to happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if people who listen to this are yet to see the film, then I'd like you to comment on what you think the appropriateness is of the final line.
Yes. Somebody says something that is can be deemed very inappropriate, but maybe that's just because we're all dirty bitches. And when this character said these words, two of these people in this room especially erupted into cackles of filth.
It was funny. I think we were the only people in the cinema who laughed at that. Everyone else is deadly silent after watching this traumatising film.
Everyone else is overly concerned with the plot development.
Oh gosh, I also thought that Steven the Seagull should have been eaten.
What?
Because we've become so invested in him, it would have been like a real hardcore moment.
It would have been brave, but like, don't kill the seagull. The seagull was cute. It was like much more interesting character than the shark or Sarah Jessica, whatever her name is.
Yeah, Tallulah. Fanula.
Chantel, I don't know.
No one, we can't remember her name. If anyone knows the name, please write in.
Is it Amy? Tell. I think I'm...
Amy?
Amy? That's a woman's name.
Yes.
It's better than my suggestion, which was Booby.
Booby. Oh dear. So yeah, we enjoyed it. Yeah,
some good jump scares and some hard jump a few times.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I had my feet permanently off the ground, if that's a measure of how tense I was.
Martin jumps at the trailers though.
But I did, yeah. My feet were off the ground and there was no water in sight, so go figure.
Yeah, well there you go. We recommend it. It's called B Movie Schlocky Scares. Yeah. It could have gone the whole hog and been more trashy than I would have enjoyed it more. But yeah, it worked.
I think it's a good balance. It's kind of trashy enough if you like the trashy stuff, but it's not so trashy that a mainstream audience couldn't enjoy it. I think it's got a good balance.
Definitely. It's one of those films that normally you just get straight to DVD or straight to Netflix or whatever. So enjoy it on the big screen while you can. Go. So that was our review of, what's it called? Jaws
Shallows.
Jaws 78.
Jaws 5, the boobening. If you would like to give us some feedback on our podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So give me a tweet at Johnny Larkin, or comment on us on iTunes, or send us an email at screamingqueens@gmail.com. And we love you long time. See you soon.
See you soon.
Dying here. 30, 40 yards. It takes them 32 seconds.